Today, cash ditched from some branches. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and property news. Well, Michelle Bowe's exclusive article on news.com.au, No Longer, ANZ Ditches Cash in Some Branches, is the latest in the series highlighting the removal of cash services across the banking system in Australia, with ANZ in the spotlight. The article says, angry ANZ customers have hit out at the bank, claiming it has scrapped the deposit and withdrawal of smaller cash denominations at some branches. The customers allege that ANZ branches no longer accept coin deposits over the counter and that coins and $5 notes can no longer be drawn over the counter. In addition, they claim that ANZ has implemented a limit on the number of notes each customer can deposit it per day in some branches. An ANZ spokesperson told news.com.au that at its full service branches and business cash hubs, we accept deposits and issue withdrawals of all Australian denominations of coins and notes, but that in some of our branches, our staff will no longer handle cash. The limitations on cash handling comes at a time when Australia is facing the prospect of becoming a cashless society, and debate rages around the role and provision of cash. One ANZ customer who contacted news.com.au claims their local branch ceased to accept coins through tellers last year and have more recently placed a limit on the number of notes it will receive per day from customers. As a not-for-profit, we take our receipts to deposit them into our account every month. And we do get lots of $5 notes. Let's hope other banks don't follow suit, the customer who requested remain anonymous said. Another small business customer told news.com.au on the condition of anonymity that ahead of running a stall at a local market, they visited their local ANZ branch to withdraw some $20, $10 and $5 notes and $1 and $2 coins. I was informed by a staff member that they could help me with the $20 and $10 notes, but that the branch no longer dealt with $5 notes or coins, and I had to go to another branch to get those denominations. And the customer added, I emailed a complaint to ANZ to be basically told that this was the way banking is these days, and if I wish to take my complaint further, I should contact the banking ombudsman. My other concern is that as the banks push to make us use less cash, we now are being unfairly charged fees on our FPOS transactions on a personal and business level. Another small business customer who also previously worked for ANZ complained that the manager of the local ANZ branch almost shouted at me for bringing in so much cash from his business to deposit. When questioned about whether they employed similar practices, spokespeople for both NAB and Westpac told news.com.au that they still accept cash deposits for all denominations and make available for withdrawal all denominations of Australian currency over the counter at branches. A Commonwealth Bank spokesperson said that all CBA branches accept all legal tender over the counter, i.e. Australian currency in all denominations for both deposits and withdrawals. In a recent appearance before the Senate at a hearing into bank closures in regional Australia, ANZ CEO Shane Elliott acknowledged that small businesses, such as those that contacted news.com.au, are the sector of the community that are predominantly using branches. They're using them because it's still a way in which they can access or make transactions with cash, Mr. Elliott told the inquiry. Catherine Bray, the Managing Director of Retail Banking at ANZ, also told the Senate inquiry that cash was one of two elements that constitute the role of bank branches. One is transactions. It's about cash. It's about over-the-counter, Ms. Bray said. In the case of ANZ, however, the words of neither senior executive appear to be backed up by the bank's actions. The debate about the role of cash comes at the time when the share of in-person transactions made with cash halved between 2019 and 2022, according to a report released earlier this year by the Reserve Bank. The report found that 72% of Australians were classed as low cash users in 2022, using cash for 20% or less of their in-person transactions, compared to 50% in 2019. By contrast, high cash users, those who use cash for 80% or more of their in-person transactions, now represented about 7% of Australians. The RBA said there were several factors behind the decline of cash, including consumer preferences for electronic payment methods and the falling number of cash access points which it said has declined considerably in recent years. Banks are also facing the challenge of demand for different services between generations of consumers, as well as between personal and business customers. The RBA found that customers over the age of 65 make up the largest group of high cash users, while those aged 50 and below use cash less frequently. 18% of respondents aged 65 and above are classified as high cash users, compared to just 3% of those under the age of 50. And a study from workforce automation platform provider Pegasystems found that Gen Z was the most concerned with banks improving online access, with just 3%, compared to 21% of over 65s concerned about having access to branches. So here we have it once again, that the banking system is being warped ahead of the preferences of some customers to continue to use cash. And they are being led by the nose because, of course, if in fact it is true that ANZ is now turning off cash transactions in some branches, it's another nail in the coffin. Or is it? Well, the regional branch inquiry showed that there was significant need, particularly in regional areas, to provide full banking services, including cash. And I have the very strong view that cash must be part of the transaction mix into the future, because it is the most effective, particularly when the power goes down. And of course, the use of cash is much simpler compared with online, when in fact you could be hacked or there's a greater chance of being scammed. So the battle will continue, but to my mind, cash must remain part of the mix for many years to come. And as the regional banking inquiry heard recently, if our major banks decide to turn cash off, then we need to have an alternative. And that alternative is probably a public bank, possibly delivered via the Australia Post branch network.
You mentioned, you agreed that we could do with more competition in the banking sector. You talked about new neobanks coming in, Rabo from overseas. Although I noticed that, I must note, I can't let Rabo get off the hook because they fined $700 million and $400 million, I think, by the Americans for breaches of the regulations. But there are other models for increased competition. One is the postal bank, which is not just turning the LPOs into a bank, providing a bank, but actually becoming a formal bank. So that's one alternative. There's a Suncorp model that we have put out there just for discussion, using government buying Suncorp and using it as a people's bank. The government forming its own, starting one with the Reserve Bank, and then a new bank starting up. What would be your preferred model, if any of those, for increasing competition with the Big Four?
Senator, I think in terms of where the low-hanging fruit is, I think if we can try to work with what the existing infrastructure is, if we're looking for quick traction, I think it's actually getting in place proper policy settings that can make Bank at Post viable and rewarding for the licensees. You know, so the evidence we keep receiving is, you know, these LPOs, they're up for it. They want to support their local communities, but they need to be remunerated properly. You know, and the idea of these tiny reimbursements for what is, you know, quite a significant piece of work for them to do, it needs to change. You know, we need to have better policy settings in place. And, you know, I'm aware of, you know, previous leadership at Australia Post who have really, let's say, made this issue a bit of a crusade. And I'd like to see more attention on that to really get Bank at Post model as viable as possible. And you know, once that occurs, then maybe we can look at what additional services, you know, they can provide. You know, they provide a lot of services already at a local level, but when they're hamstrung with what they can and can't do, and they've got, you know, tuck shops coming in, you know, wanting to deposit a significant amount of money which they can't necessarily satisfy, it raises a range of issues as well. So we need to look at those policy settings and make sure they're fit for purpose. And from there, I think then that can lead to discussions down the track. But certainly, yeah, you mentioned a few of them. I think competition lets neo banks won't work for everyone. In many instances, they won't work for small businesses, but let's get as much competition and potential disruption going on. I think there's probably a role here for mortgage brokers as well, Senator. So we, you know, COSBOA is proud to have the CAFBA, the Commercial and Finance Brokers Association, as members of COSBOA. And brokers are brokers of competition. You know, they act in the best interest of their clients, who are often small businesses, to find them the best possible product. It's the same with insurance. You know, COSPA was proud to have NIBA, the National Insurance Brokers Association, and they're encouraging their clients to say, well, just because you're based in a particular region doesn't mean you necessarily need to buy, you know, an insurance product from your local insurance business if it's not fit for purpose, if it's not cost competitive. And the broker will do that work as an intermediary to try to generate that competition on the client's behalf. So I think as well as improving the bank at post model in terms of regulation, there's also a role for intermediaries to ensure that small businesses get that, you might say, bargaining power in terms of their product negotiations.
So all of those would seem to be, or both of those would seem to be, microeconomic improvements to competition, opening up the banking sector so that more people can get involved.
I think that's a fair characterisation, Senator.
Just one more question about cash. Are members of COSBOA concerned about the loss of cash, or do they prefer cash, neutral on cash, especially in the regions? What's their view?
Senator, I'm yet to meet a small business who doesn't like cash. Cash will remain the cheapest way to transact. There is no other way around it. If a customer walks into a local supermarket with a $100 bill, cash, it goes to the owner. That owner might then walk down to the local restaurant and buy a meal with that $100 cash, and you get this multiplier effect where you've all of a sudden you've generated $200 or $300. On the contrary, if we're talking about digital payments, and digital payments have their role, and I'm not a Luddite, and I'm none of that, but you did ask me the question. If that $100 is eroded at every transaction by 1.5%, 2.2%, then there's a compound effect there. Yep. 100 becomes 98.5, the 98.5 becomes the 97, or whatever it might be. That is just the reality. There is a cost of transacting. And when you ask our small businesses, what's their biggest concern at the moment? It's the cost of doing business. There's a perfect storm of costs there. We're in a cost of living crisis, but we're also in a cost of doing business crisis. This doesn't get enough attention. It is extremely hard for people to churn out a profit. As I said, almost half of Australian small businesses aren't making a profit. High energy, high rent, high insurance, and those merchant costs can add to that as well. So long way of saying, small businesses love cash. They love when customers come with cash, but equally their ultimate goal is to delight their customers, and where that is convenient for them to use tap and go, wherever it might be, of course, those provisions are available, but there's absolutely cash is not dead in our view.
Also, small business owners, thank you, Mr. Akerstrat. Small business owners tend to be self-selected in terms of being more independent, more considered risk more closely, and they can probably see that the need for maintaining cash, because it gives you control over your business. I think
that's a very fair characterisation, Senator. You know, cash is king. You know, you don't need to have an MBA or have gone to business school to know that cash flow is the number one determinant for a business remaining in business, particularly in the current environment. And you only need to look at government programs that have sought to support small businesses. The most successful ones are the ones that got cash out the door sooner rather than later. You know, so there's all sorts of energy rebates and all sorts of incentive, which are welcomed and part of the policy mix. But certainly throughout the COVID period, grants, cash, you're absolutely right. And particularly for small businesses who, you know, may be carrying debt as well, whether that's through their small business being mortgaged against their residential premise, their house, holding cash in some sort of offset account is absolutely vital there. And then the concept of petty cash, of having cardhold cash, yes, absolutely, with the right safety precautions being associated with that. I know I mentioned it earlier, but the Optus example, Senator, how many small businesses in this country for the first time in a long time said to their customers, hey, have you got cash on you? And they were probably underwhelmed with the response they got. So, yes, you're right. Small business owners take risk, entrepreneurial, and that is probably why they appreciate the value of cash more than the next person.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.